Please turn to Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. That word redemption means to release a slave after the payment of the purchase price. Paul wants us to see in verse 7 that we have been released. We've been released. We are no longer a slave. Released. The payment has been made, the purchase price has been paid, and we have been redeemed. Christ came into this world and died on the cross of Calvary. He shed sinless, perfect blood that day. He shed blood that forever satisfied God Almighty to redeem us. God's wrath has been satisfied. In 1 John 2, verse 2, it tells us, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He himself is the propitiation. He satisfies God Almighty's justice and his wrath. In Isaiah 53, verse 11, we read this. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. For by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ has satisfied the wrath of God. Jesus Christ has purchased his bride. Jesus Christ forever removed his bride from the sale of the marketplace, making her eternally secure with him. The Lord Jesus Christ has set his bride free from the bondage of her sins. Many times believers don't recognize that. They understand that, yes, they've been delivered from the penalty of sin, but they fail to realize that they have been delivered from the power of sin. Romans 6, verse 14 tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you've been redeemed not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. Now you can rejoice when you read Romans 8, verse 1, that tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. What good news is that? No condemnation. Christ has set his bride free so that we could live a new life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 tells us this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All of that stuff from your past, all of the wickedness from your past, the horror, the terror, all of that has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Glory to God. All things. That's the nature of redemption. When you hear that word, redeemed, that is some of the things that redemption contains. You have plenty of reason to praise, to worship, and to honor Jesus Christ, who bought you with his precious blood. The redemption we've been given in Christ is free. It's free for the taking. Anyone who will believe can be saved without cost. Christ has paid the cost. We simply believe. We simply come. Revelation 22:17 promises this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. There is the offer of the gospel. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You're burdened, you're heavy laden, and your sins, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. You are to simply come. Isaiah 55, verse 1 tells us this. Lo, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Do you thirst today? Do you thirst today, child of God? Then come. Do you thirst today? You're not a child of God? Then come. Come to Calvary. As I said, the redemption that the Lord gives his people is free, but it's anything but cheap. The verse reminds us today in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. It may be cheap for us, but our salvation was not cheap for Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood. Back in the days of slavery in the United States, if a slave was to be purchased, the buyer would go to the sale, go to the slave market, say, yes, I want to purchase that slave. And they'd say the price is $100, U.S. dollars. That money would have to be paid. But our redemption, our being bought from the slave market, was by the blood of Jesus Christ. The hour you came to Christ, you didn't have to bring a payment in your hand. All you needed was simply faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you believed in Christ by faith, you were saved by grace. It didn't cost you a dime. However, it cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything. The price for your redemption was his precious blood. When Christ died on the cross, the innocent was dying for the guilty. He who had no sin was dying for those who only had sin. Mind-blowing verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made him, God the Father made him, Christ, who knew no sin, no sin to be sin for us, so that for this purpose, that we might become the righteousness of God. The one who knew no sin became sin. And those who knew only sin became the righteousness of God. There's something to chew on for all eternity. When Christ died, shedding his blood on the cross, he satisfied all the just demands of Almighty God regarding sin. Now God is satisfied. Propitiation has been made. The wrath of God has been satisfied. But he was by the blood. We have redemption through his blood. Realize this, that millions of gallons of blood have been shed during the days of the tabernacle and the temple. All that blood had not been able to take away a single sin. All that blood did was cover sin for a season. Cover it. When Christ shed his perfect blood on the cross, he did what the blood of animals could never do. All the sin in the quote-unquote Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, all of the blood of animals, it covered sin. When Christ shed his blood, he was shedding the blood of a perfect man. His blood was the blood of a man who was free from sin. His blood was the only blood that could pay the debt created by Adam when he sinned in Eden. When Christ shed his blood, he forever settled the sin problem for all those who would believe in him. Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And from there sat till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. His blood was the payment for redemption for everyone that would come to him by faith through all of history. 1 John 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that the wrath of God would be satisfied. The wrath of God towards sin. The word propitiation means that which satisfies. God's wrath has been satisfied. Christ died for sin, and God is forever satisfied. When sin has come to him for salvation, there's nothing left to pay. Christ paid it all. And lost sinners receive new life, forgiveness of sins, and adoption into God's family, all without cost. That is the good news of the gospel. Come to Christ, and there'll never be a fee. Come to him, and salvation be freely given. Come to him, and he'll save your soul and give you everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. Paul tells us in our text in Ephesians, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Paul tells us that this redemption that we have comes to us according to the riches of his grace. Because God has set his grace upon us, he set in motion a plan to save us. Everything God has done in Christ comes to us according to the riches of his grace. Let me give you an illustration. Let's look at it this way. Say we were to take an offering today, and someone who's a millionaire gives $20 in that offering. They're giving out of their riches. Just about everyone else could do the same thing. Everybody could probably give $20. But if that millionaire gave $20,000 as opposed to $20, they would be given according to their riches. Do you see the difference? One is just giving out of their riches. The other one is giving according to their riches. God has not given us a redemption that has limits, but he has given us redemption that knows no limits. Think about it. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's adopted us into his family. He changed our lives. He has determined that we will be with him in heaven someday, where we will be like Jesus. And he did all this just because it brought him pleasure. It brought him pleasure. The good pleasure of his will, for no other reason than the good pleasure of his will. Now God has given us all we have in Jesus according to the riches of his grace. Not just from the riches of his grace, but according to. He has unlimited riches. And he has given us an unlimited salvation. If he merely saved us from sin until we sinned again, that would be a redemption that came out of the riches of his grace, but not according to the riches of his grace. If he set us on the road to heaven and told us to get there the best way that we could, that would be a redemption that was out of the riches of his grace, but not according to the riches of his grace. When God redeemed us, he didn't do it part way. He didn't set limits on his grace towards us. When he redeemed us, he did it according to the riches of his grace. That means that we cannot sin beyond his grace. It means that we cannot sin beyond the riches of his grace. Look at Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Much more. It means we're never going to run out of grace. It means that we are saved to the uttermost. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. God continues to lavish his grace upon us from eternity to eternity. That's why we're told that God is to be praised for his redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. May these truths that we've been studying for the last few weeks change your life, revolutionize your life. May you see who you are in Christ. All of these teachings that you've been hearing over the last few weeks in Ephesians 1, they are all indicatives. They are, all of these teachings indicate what you are and what you have in Christ. Not what you're going to be, what you can be, the possibility of all of these truths that we've been looking at are indicative of what you now possess in Jesus Christ. That you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That you've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That you've been predestined to adoption as sons. That you've been made accepted in the beloved. That you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. These are some blessed truths. And if you be a child of God, this is the meat that will cause you to grow up. To grow up into a flourishing Christian that bears fruit. And that you would be able to be a blessing in the lives of those around you. And if you're listening to this message and you've never come to Christ for salvation, I would remind you what I read earlier in Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If you find yourself today desiring, take the water of life freely. If you hear the call today, then come. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth would not perish, but have eternal life.